Welcome to the Title League Podcast. I'm Kurt.
And I'm Trish.
And today we're joined by One Legacy Sports President Mike George, self-made agent from Toronto, Ontario.
One of the biggest Canadian agents that we have and has a very diverse portfolio of athletes. Some of our best and brightest are with Mr. George. And on the court tonight, even though we are not watching, is one of the most often talked about in these playoffs, which is Jamal Murray of the Denver Nuggets. He's been quite a joy to watch.
He's been a lot of fun. He sent home the Clippers with that 40-game performance the other night. It was amazing just to watch him with that duel with Donovan Mitchell in that earlier series with Utah. And I'm sure for Mike, he's been getting a lot of phone calls for Jamal. I'm sure it's a busy time for him.
Before we get my Mr. George on the line, I just got to say for the record, I've always said that I love Kawhi. I have no hard feelings for him whatsoever. But there is a bit of me that is reveling in the fact that his Clippers got out in the exact same round as our Raptors. There's just a little bit of sweet justice with that. And again, thanks to Jamal Murray.
Yeah, there's been a lot of memes going around. Kawhi left Canada to go to LA, ended up in Orlando in the bubble, and got eliminated by the man from Kitchener, Ontario.
Right? Anyway, and again, no disrespect. It's just more towards the haters who said that we couldn't do it without Kawhi. Well, Kawhi couldn't do it without the Raptors this year, it seems. Anyway, we have Mr. George come in right now.
Welcome to the show, One Legacy Sports President, Mike George. Mike, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
So tell us, where are you calling in from tonight?
I'm calling from Phoenix, Arizona. So great. Just this wonderful heat.
I can see you got the fan rolling. And for those that don't know, you are Canadian. It's that time of year where we're starting to go into fall and get closer to winter. So I'm sure you're not going to be, missing those cooler nights now.
Not at all.
So tell us, how did you end up in Arizona? Why did you decide to operate out of there?
It was just a simple, it was just more the weather, to be honest with you. I just kind of got tired of waking up to a cold car, homes and different things. You know, when you go outside with the snow, I just got tired of the snow. So it was like, you know what, time for a little change. And I remember coming out here when Tyler Ennis was drafted out here. And I was like, man, I really like Phoenix, but San Diego is my preference. But I ended up picking, they don't have a professional team, so it was just easier to come here in Phoenix.
Damn right. We've heard a lot of good things about San Diego, but that's for another conversation. So obviously, your guy's in the bubble. He's been killing the bubble. He's playing tonight. What has this experience been like for you, representing Jamal, not only as your client, but as a friend, with what he's been able to do and really the whole world's marveling at this Canadian who's killing it?
It's been great. I think it's, like I said, I think he believes that he's, you know, what he's doing, he's representing the country. He's representing every guy in the NBA. He's representing all our Canadian guys aiming to be in the NBA. So I think what he's accomplished and what he's been doing has been simply amazing. There's no real words to describe it.
You know, once the Raptors were eliminated last week, it was almost fate that Jamal started to show the world what he's capable of, because now he has a country behind him. I have never heard so many people on the streets talking about the Denver Nuggets, talking about Jamal Murray, and they have now definitely become Canada's team for the rest of these playoffs.
That's awesome. And plus, he was able to knock out Kawhi Leonard to do Canada a favor since he left us. So
I did say that before you came on, that there's no hard feelings. It's not, I don't want to be a hater, but it does feel good that he's gone.
Just a little
bit. The same, in the same round, didn't advance any further. Same spot.
Right. That's right. So that was for the Raptors. That was for the city.
Thank you.
You know what? There we go. The poetic justice in that. So, so tell us, are you, depending on how this round pans out, do you have any plans to make your way over to Orlando?
Not necessarily. I mean, I think that bubble life isn't really made for me, but it all depends. Now, I'm kidding. I'm sure, Jamal's dad, if he gets through this next round, I'm sure Roger would want to go down there and so forth, but I'm not sure. I'll talk to Jamal about it and see what he's thinking and whatever. So,
Let's rewind a little bit, because we know Jamal definitely is the client that you have that is on the mouths of everybody from Stephen A. Smith on. But let's go back a bit to how you got into the agency business. Your years, you started out as a coach, and what made you decide to make that move to become an agent?
Well, I taught for 13 years, a teacher in Canada for 13 years. And then along that time, started a program with another guy. We started CIA Bounce, and the basketball program took off. And if you fast forward, you know, there's a lot of Canadian talent that was, you know, having an opportunity to make the NBA. And it was like, you know, you'd be the perfect guy to do this and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I kind of fought it at first, but as time went along, just kind of decided to, you know, talking to my pastor and his family and so forth. I was like, man, you'd be great at it and so forth. And that's what kind of inspired me to do it. So
when you think of Canadian talent, you've been part of this emergence, really at the forefront of it. When you think about growing up in Toronto and now where you are, could you have ever imagined that we would have this amount of talent coming out of this country?
You know what? I think we've always had the talent. You know, I think it was just, you know, I would say the biggest thing that separated us from the U.S. was, you know, we had the skill level, but we just didn't have the mentality. But I feel like when Damon Stoudemire was drafted by the Raptors, that really, you know, sparked a lot of guys like myself to get into the coaching aspect of it. Then obviously Vince Carter inspired the kids and the young guys coming up. So I think, you know, with all that kind of put together and then the coaching and our guys that we used to play helping these younger guys, you kind of knew that at some point we'd have this explosion mentally. And our guys now, you know, you look at Cam Birch, Wendy Sun, and different guys, mentally we've been able to compete, and, you know, along with our athleticism and skill level.
You have a large roster, and I'm curious what sets you apart from other agents? So
I'm better looking than most of them. Just kidding.
That's fair. I won't disagree. But seriously, you have, I mean, they're playing at all different levels. They're playing in all different areas. How do you handle that as an agent? How do you make sure that your players feel the same way, whether they're playing like Jamal Murray or they're just starting out and maybe not having a great season? What do you do for them?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head there. It's like, regardless if it's Jamal or a guy that's playing in Europe or wherever it may be, or the G League, they're all valuable people. You know, they're people first, right? And I believe I treat them the way I would treat my own son. So I think it's important to be very transparent, very honest with them, and you know, do the best job you can. And during the process, is there going to be some things that, you know, they don't agree with, you don't agree with, but being comfortable to have that conversation. So for me, regardless if it's Jamal or Kyle Alexander or Melvin Edge, whoever it may be, I think it's just very important that you're always there for them. And especially when a true agent's working, when guys aren't doing well and they're not being successful, and how do you handle the situation there? And that's what I seem to take a lot of pride in, is the more the underdog and the guys like Jamal's Jamal, but some of these other guys that are struggling. So.
And Mike, a lot of people say that this world, this industry, it's difficult, it's tough. You know, you went from being a teacher, a coach, now you're an agent. What was the biggest thing that you learned early on that you had to do in order to survive with these huge agencies that you were faced up against?
You know, I mean, I was very fortunate to join with Excel Sports when I first started. So it was a bigger agency. And Jeff Schwartz, one of the better agents in the business, I was able to learn a lot from him. And, you know, things that you really thought were really great, and there's things that you thought were a little different. Like, you know, guys, I love bigger agencies and the name and that, which is great. You know what I mean? That's good for them. But for me, I want the guys that want, you know, they're kind of similar to my story, right? You're overcoming obstacles. You're not that guy that everyone talks about coming up. Like Jamal, he's not like he wasn't a household name, you know? And those are the kind of guys like Dylan Brooks, and even when you looked at, you know, Cam Birch, these guys all had to struggle to get where they are. Nothing was given to them. And I love that, because now when you're dealing with, and something I learned is, when guys don't have a sense of entitlement, they're easier to deal with. And they're like you. So, and I always believe, like, even when I was coaching basketball teams, I wanted players that were like yourself, that worked hard, played defense, did the dirty stuff. And that's what I love as far as an agency. I don't want, respectfully, you know, don't get me wrong, I'll take a top 5 pick, you know, but I want those guys that are just, you know, tough dudes, no sense of entitlement, are going to earn everything. So,
and you know, as far as we're upcoming, we've got free agency looming in a month. What is free agency going to look like for you this year with a worldwide global pandemic?
It's different, obviously, because there's no real firm dates. You know, they once had, they had a date in October. Now they changed things to November. You know, there's a possibility I'm hearing the NBA may not start till March. So it's a little wacky. But at the end of the day, you know, my job and our job as an agency is to make sure, you know, information is being given over our guys that are either restricted or unrestricted, talking to teams to make sure, you know, what interest levels are out there. And just pretending like things are normal, if that makes sense, right? So if this was an everyday normal thing, you know, are you interested in my guy? And then obviously the draft is going to play a huge part of what teams, you know, who they pick and what needs they may have and so forth. So it's a little unusual, but, you know, you got to be able to, you know, kind of act on, you know, be able to respond and be a little bit thinking outside the box as well. So
when we were locked down at the height of COVID, travel was pretty impossible. Were you in Canada at the time or were you in the States?
I was in the States.
And did you find it difficult to be in person with some of your guys, or how did you manage to connect with them and to keep them motivated when everything was so uncertain?
It's good. You know, like I said, I have guys that, you know, they understand what it means to work hard, stay focused, stay in the gym. Like, you know, you take Thon Maker, for example, and Mature Maker. Those guys were working out since it happened, maybe a week later, they're all together working out for these past 6 months. So I have really good guys that listen and they're proactive, they get after it. But obviously it has its challenges. And you just got to be there, especially to calm them down and just give them information. You know, like, this is what's happening. These are the possible dates. Here's what I think you should do. You know, and we work it all together, figure what's the best strategy. And I mean, I had a couple of guys go to overseas and play, you know, Jordan, Caroline, and Lindell, like, go get some money while you can, because it's almost playing for free. Build your European experience, but yet come back and have your opportunity to make the NBA. So, like I said, you just got to be a little bit willing to think outside the box.
And just kind of keeping along those lines, you know, we also, after COVID or because of COVID or during, I don't know, it's all a bit of a blur, but the Black Lives Matter movement took hold of people. And the movement that's been going on for years, for decades, it's just been called something different over the decades. As a person of color in Canada, different challenges. There's challenges. We are not a perfect society. People like to look up and say, oh, the Canadians have gotten it right. No, the Canadians have not gotten it right, but there are different challenges. So you're their agent. So a lot of the times that's a very fatherly-like figure. How have you guided your players in the best ways to deal with the potential of a lockout, a strike, negotiations with the NBA on how to continue, what it's going to look like once you come out? How have you guided them?
I think for me, you know, I have guys that are very self-aware and self-conscious. They understand. And even for me, like you said, you know, I'm Canadian. I have two challenges in this market. I'm Black and I'm Canadian. So, you know, as Canadians, we already have our struggle of trying to make it to a certain level. And even with Jamal, all the things he's accomplished, it's funny that, you know, they're like, oh, we didn't know he's that good. Wait a minute. He was like MVP of the Jordan game, MVP of the Hoop Summit, pretty much beat the U.S. by himself. Carried a men's team in the Pan Ams game to a gold medal, MVP of the Rising Star game, and yet still not that respect level of, man, we didn't know he's that good. So we as Canadians have to do even more than even our American counterparts. And then the second aspect of being Black and Canadian, you know, it presents its challenges. So, you know, I think the most powerful moment for me, and when you talk about the players, and, you know, obviously Roger, Jamal's dad's done a great job as well, is like, Jamal's after the game where he had that they asked him to interview and the things that he said and just being genuine. And it was actually a wake-up call for the world that it's not just America that goes through these things. Like, these things happen in Canada, that we all face it. And I thought beyond the way he's been playing basketball-wise, that was the most powerful moment for me. It had me in tears. And I think that message there will kind of last, you know, be forever lasting. And And hopefully, you know, this whole movement and things going on isn't just words. And these guys in the NBA, and I tell our guys, like, they got to give back to the community and help, you know, build up, you know, not necessarily be black owned, you know what I mean? But obviously that helps. But just help support things that are helping support and dealing with the black youth or different things that are helping our people learn more about our history and stuff like that to overcome some of the systemic discrimination that exists.
Absolutely. We need more allies. So Correct. It doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. If you are an ally in a position of power, being an ally means asking and understanding Correct. And moving forward with that knowledge.
That's right.
And as someone who lives, you know, in the U.S. and obviously living in Canada, what do you notice yourself being able to live in both countries, Canada and the U.S.? Do you see a bigger divide? Do you see changes that are more apparent to you?
Yeah, like, I'm not going to say, like, racism doesn't exist in Canada because, like I said, it does. It's a little bit more covert and so forth. But I find, like, in America, it's just very, it's blatant. It's overt. It's right in your face. Like, you're, and you know, and I've been having this discussion, like, obviously these last months, and I'm trying to figure out, is it more of a political issue of, you know, the red versus the blue, or are people really, is it more of a race issue where people don't, you know, some, I get confused sometimes whether some of these folks that I consider to be borderline racist, if it's more of a political thing, or do they just feel they do not understand the differences between the way black people are treated. So someone, for example, when I said, like, man, you know, we as a black, you know, race, or what do you want to call it, we've been dealing with things for over 400 years. They're like, well, what do you mean? Do you know the first black slave owner, or first slave owner was black and blah, blah, blah? I'm like, okay, what does that matter? Like, you know, like, what are you talking about? You know what I mean? But again, there's a lot of ignorance over here, yeah. Respectfully. But I think it's just a lot of his lack of knowledge, educating yourself, understanding the history, what took place and so forth. But there is a huge difference between Canada and the U.S., but racism still exists in both places.
I think that you have it right completely. I think it's probably a little bit of both. So I think that when you're talking about your quote, borderline racist, you know, they don't think they're racist, but they're not 100% sure, they're ignorant or they're uninformed.
Right.
It's a really easy lob to throw at people who are racist that this is politics. Oh, don't pay attention to this. This is the Democrats trying to badmouth the president and trying to make this into something more than it is. And if you're uninformed and if you're uneducated and if you've never taken the time to ask others' experiences firsthand, then it's an easy thing to be, easy thing to be caught up in. Okay, right. Well, that makes sense. So I'm going to say the line that I say in every episode. That's why it's so unbelievably important for every single eligible voter to register to vote and to get out on election day and vote if you have to wait in line for hours. The only way that we change this, the only way that we know that question that you asked of, you know, is this a political thing or not? The only way we know that is by being a part of that political process. The only way that you inform people who might not already be informed is to have your voices heard at the ballot boxes.
Right. Yeah. Like, I'll give one example is like, you know, when the obviously thing, everything happened with the young fellow being choked and so forth. And one of these guys I know is like, you know, I know he got, you know, choked to death and so forth, which was really, really bad. But the people rioting is just insane to me. I don't understand that. This is ridiculous. So they went on and on and on and on and on about the rioting, but never really focused on the fact that someone was murdered. So that's what I mean when I say, like, this political, like, you know, it's not, I don't know if it's a racism thing there, or is that more of just so much ignorance that you're so focused on, you know, this place is a Democratic state or this one is a Republican state. And I'm just like, I don't even understand. I'm like, I don't know, I'm Canadian. I don't understand this stuff. I know Trudeau and that's about it.
So question for you, Mike. We are in Nova Scotia. You got two guys here. Nate Darling, yes. Just signed with you. Exciting young guy from Delaware. What does the future look like for him?
Nate is super talented. I think he's a guy that, again, he fits the criteria of what I look for in a guy and a player and a client. Is underdog. No one talks about him the way he should be spoken about. I think he can score on three different levels. And the nice part is he'd always come back to Ontario when these guys played in your old, you know, the provincial championships.
Yep.
And he'd be like, who's this guy that's killing everybody? And he's like, Nate Darling, you know? So I think he's proven himself to be super talented. He's an underdog, but I think he's a guy that will make the NBA. Now, will he go the traditional route and be drafted, this and that? I mean, time will tell on that, but I will tell you for sure, I feel very confident that he will be playing the NBA one day, for sure.
Wow. Very exciting. We look forward to it.
Yeah.
Quickly, you've got to this level. You've built out your agency. You've got great guys. You look down the roster. I mean, it's impressive. What is next for Mike George? What's the legacy play now?
You know what? Just keep helping the guys I have now and you know, just continue to just hopefully be an inspiration to people that, you know, want to get into maybe the sports management business or, you know, make sure these guys are giving back to the communities that are around them. And just also, like I said, just make sure the guys in this, you know, help guys like Nate Darling and so forth get to live their dream. Like, these are the things that motivate me, keep me going. And maybe down the road somewhere, not now, but later on, maybe I do get in some things with some of these GMs. Like, I don't understand why you drafted this guy or why would you do that? You know what? Maybe one day I might go be a GM. I don't know. You know, but for now, I'm like enjoying it. What I'm doing.
Yeah. The most immediate goal is to get all of our Canadian boys to play for the national team when we have when the Olympics are back. And then we'll really see where the talent is. We'll see what can happen.
Well, the U.S. is lucky right now. They're lucky this whole thing happened because, man, we were coming for them. We're going to, first of all, win this qualifier, get ourselves in there. And then I think we're about to shock the world, but it's still going to happen.
Absolutely. We like to end the conversation with just three fun questions. So don't think too hard. The first is, if you were writing your biography today, what would you call it?
One Legacy.
Brilliant. Perfect. who would you get to play you in the movie?
Eddie George. I'm messing around. He looks like me, so I'm just kidding. I was trying to find someone else. I was kidding. It would actually be, I think, Will Smith.
Will Smith.
You know, hopefully he's a little, you know.
Is Eddie George related or is he an actor?
No, he's not. I could either get Eddie George or PJ Tucker, one of those two. They say they're my twins, so. Yeah.
I see the PJ Tucker resemblance.
There you go. Now you're going to have to go look up Eddie George. You're going to be like, wait a minute, he was right. But check it out after the show.
Okay, and the last one. What TV show, past or present, is most like your life?
That's a great question. So TV show or it could be a movie? What can be?
We can make an exception. We'll say it. We can say a movie for this time around.
You know what? Let me stick to the TV show with, I'm going to stick to Will Smith, man. I'm going to go with Fresh Prince. You know, coming from a journey of a, you know, single mom, you know, different challenges it has, and then just being able to kind of move yourself through the ladder and different people that have helped me. I had my own version of Uncle Phil. Awesome. With some people in my life that helped me. So.
That's awesome. You know that they're doing a reboot, right?
I'm all for it. I'm all.
I know. God, can't count in the days.
So, not only can he play me, I'll make my movie after him one day. So there you go.
Awesome.
That's we'll write the script. So
there you go.
Lastly, quick. Aside from your attachment and association to the Nuggets, who's your favorite team in the league?
Well, first of all, what's the score?
And then it is 47-36 Lakers. 5 minutes to go.
Jeez. All right. You said my favorite team?
Favorite team.
Raptors, by far.
Okay.
Yeah, by far. You gotta stick with your city. Right. Now, I'm starting to like Phoenix a little bit, but I'll never love anyone more than Toronto. So.
Awesome.
We love that. Well, man, thank you so much. We appreciate you coming on today.
All right. Thank you, guys. Appreciate
Enjoy
you.
Enjoy the rest of the game.
Yeah, nice meeting you guys. Bye,
Wendy. Nice meeting you.
You too.
Go Nuggets.
All right, bye.
Bye.